Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals and our live Saturday morning broadcast. We're here every Saturday to answer your questions about gardening, tropical gardening specifically. My name is Mark. I'll be your host today for Radio Top Tropicals. Just a little administrative before we start. You can visit us at toptropicals.com. Also, we're on the Mixlr site. You're listening to this broadcast. That's mixlr.com. If you join in, you can type questions live to us in the studio. Alternatively, you can also call our studio at 239-887-3323. That's 239-887-3323, and our helpful staff will get your questions to us live on air. Also at the Mixlr site, that's mixlr.com/toptropicals, you can also follow us for upcoming events as well as past episodes under the showreel items, and you can listen to all our past episodes right from the Mixlr site. Okay, with that out of the way, I want to introduce today our topic, which is sustainable agriculture in your living room. And to give us a little presentation and some information is our international certified crop expert, Robert Reifer. Robert, take it away.
Thank you. Today's topic will be sustainable agriculture in your living room. Why should the only thing growing in your living room be your husband's beer belly or mold? Basically, there are many delicious plants that you can grow right in your own living room. Among them are, you use various sprouting techniques for bean sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, or whatever you want to sprout. In addition, you can even grow tomatoes, cabbage, a variety of vegetables. We even have dwarf fruit trees which help to grow. The important thing to remember is that most homes have exceptionally low humidity. Many homes, especially down here in Southwest Florida under air conditioning, have a humidity level of about 15 to 20%. Now compare this to the Sahara Desert that has a humidity level of 30%, and this is why everything dries out. You don't need to play with the air conditioning. All you need to do is make sure that your plant gets enough water. This will even help the plant in many cases because the plants will absorb the water and transpirate or release the water through their leaves. This helps the plant grow. Now, there are, as I said before, a variety of plants that you can indeed grow in your living room, either for eating or for their sheer beauty. The best place to find these plants is, of course, at Top Tropicals. Please visit our website at toptropicals.com.
Okay, Robert, let me ask you. The word sustainable is a buzzword these days. Everybody's talking about it. Sustainable agriculture, family farms, all states, large companies even. What does sustainable agriculture mean for us today, the garden enthusiast, for them in their homes? Are we talking water, soil, pesticides? What are some of the topics?
Okay, sustainable agriculture means agriculture that will not destroy the land so that it can be used for generation after generation. So sustainable agriculture in your living room means you will not be trashing your living room. Now, some of the living rooms I visited are already trashed, but basically you can continue to reuse most of the articles that you use to grow your plants. Among these, the easiest one, and people are so scared of it, is hydroponic growing. All this means is you're using water and a soilless material to plant your plants in. And there are many things, water bottles, old egg cartons, the plastic tubs that you get in a pint or a quart of one-ton soup from your friendly Chinese restaurant, And many of these things that are typically recycled can actually be used as material. And this is even more efficient than recycling because it does actually require energy to take recycled materials and transform them into new products.
Okay, so when we talk about sustainable as it relates to water, moving from the indoors a little bit, what about for outdoors? What can our listeners do for water conservation outdoors? What are some of the things we do here at Top Tropicals that you might recommend our listeners also use?
Well, for one thing, make sure that your irrigation system is not leaking. Make sure that your irrigation system is designed for what it's supposed to do. Basically, which means get the water on the plant. You don't need the water on your driveway. Your driveway will not grow. You do not need the water on the street so that cars can have head-on collisions in front of your home. Do not have the water on the house, especially here in Southwest Florida, where it'll make any color house turn brown with all the iron that we have.
So for watering, do you recommend drip irrigation, and can we use that on all of our individual plants? How does that work for sustainable water conservation?
Drip irrigation is probably the most efficient means of making sure that your plants get enough water. There is, however, use for modified drip irrigation, such as they're called spitters or emitters, which are basically tiny sprinklers that make sure that the entire root system of a plant is watered. Drip irrigation merely puts just a little bit of water drop by drop. And we use this in greenhouses for individual pots. So your spitters or emitters are some of the best places to go. Best place is Google drip irrigation and also Google water emitters and sprinkler emitters. And you will be able to see 100,000 different types for whatever use you require. Now, also, getting into the sustainable agriculture, unfortunately, there's a type of sustainable agriculture that they've used down here in Southwest Florida where they have plants growing through the entire house. They call them grow houses. These are not sustainable because eventually the sheriff comes knocking on the door and unloads all the plants and busts the people, which is basically a good thing. We don't need any more grow houses here in Southwest Florida.
Certainly not. All right, let's move it back indoors. You talked a little bit about sustainable agriculture in your living room, and a good question from one of our listeners, and let's expand the topic a little bit. So the question specifically is, can you grow broccoli indoors? And while we're on that topic, indoor agriculture, what other vegetables can our listeners grow inside?
Okay, broccoli, it really likes a little bit more sun. However, if you can provide your living room has either morning or afternoon sun coming through the windows, this can work. Also, as far as growing broccoli is concerned, why eat just one plant or two when you can eat hundreds of broccoli plants? They are known as broccoli sprouts, and you can find the broccoli seeds online. Just take a look for vegetable sprouts. Again, use Google, and it will work tremendously. And the nice broccoli sprouts are exceptionally tasty. They're good for you, so you can live 150 years and see what a mess the world will be by then. And I recommend the sprouts very highly.
Okay, so broccoli sprouts instead of broccoli perhaps indoors. Another question, what about tomatoes? Is there a dwarf type of tomato that our listeners can grow indoors?
There are a variety of dwarf tomatoes. However, I do recommend, and we'll be trying to get some seeds of this, there is a tomato called the Everglades Native Tomato. And while people disagree, it is my personal opinion that this particular tomato plant is actually a native of ours. It is an exceptionally sweet tomato, and back in the 1950s, a gentleman by the name of Lamont Hardy used this to be bred with other tomatoes to increase the sugar content. They're exceptionally sweet, exceptionally delicious. They are an heirloom, and you are actually dealing with the true species, not a hybrid.
Interesting. The Everglades Native Tomato. Okay, we talked a little bit about water for sustainable gardens. Here's a question. It's a really great question. Can I use reclaimed water for watering my plants, and how will that affect my plants, if at all?
Okay, this is one of the interesting things. Depending on which county you live in, the codes vary. However, when we talk about reclaimed water, think about your washing machine. In many sections, it is actually illegal to take your washing machine water and distribute it out through the pipes into your yard directly. Most places insist that it go into the sewer or septic tank system. And there's actually no better way to trash a septic tank than make sure that your wash water goes into it. Septic means life. And the bacteria that break down your effluents get hurt by the soap. So this is one of those things where officially we're not going to say here, and we just say to each their own. Also for gardenias, back in the old days, we used wash water to put on the gardenias to fight nematodes.
Okay, and now here's an interesting question. We talked about reclaimed water. What about, one of our listeners asked, all they have is smart water. I guess that's the smart bottled water. Will that make your plant grow smarter, faster? And what about Red Bull? I know he's joking about that, but let's talk about other forms other than water. Is there anything else our listeners can use?
Well, basically your recycled vegetable peelings, stuff like that. Personally, I like my potatoes with the skin on it. But vegetable peelings, stuff like this, can all go into a mulch pile. And this helps quite a bit. I am not familiar with what the listener is saying by smart water. It is? Oh, okay. In actuality, the mineral content in your smart water is really not enough for a plant. And I would recommend you can use some very benign fertilizers out there. And basically, even the dish soap, soapy water can help quite a bit. And it's also useful as a fungicide, insecticide, and bactericide.
Let's follow up on a question, a topic regarding the reclaimed water. You talked a little bit about the gray water from your laundry. One of our listeners is asking, isn't the water from the washing machine bad for your plants because of the soaps in it? Now, I know you didn't have an official policy, so let me ask you, Robert, would you use that water for your plants?
Absolutely and without question. Depending on the type of plant, wash water will help it to grow substantially. And I just cannot envision, basically in this society we now live in, which I call an Orwellian nightmare, everybody has to regulate and control our lives because they cannot control their own. But I would really suggest
trying some wash water on a plant or two.
Okay, and back to alternatives to water. I know you mentioned vegetable peels in as a compost in your soil. Here's a question. Is it okay to use coffee or tea to water your plants? Will that affect the acidity of the soil? And that actually goes to another question. One of our listeners is asking, what is the ideal pH level for their soil?
Okay, ideal pH level varies from plant to plant. Certain trees, such as macadamia trees, want very acid water. Neutral pH is 7, and the difference between 6 and 7 is a factor of 10 times. Between 5 and 7 is a factor of 100 times. So it's basically a logarithmic scale on base 10. And your teas, your coffees will certainly acidify the water. Tannic acid is basically the main component in tea. In fact, tannic acid is natural in many of our rivers here in Florida. Turns the water brown and makes it ooky, but it's actually quite good for not only the plants growing along the shore and in the water, but even for the marine life itself.
Yes, our California listeners are very familiar, I'm sure, with the logarithmic scale. I think the Richter scale comes to mind as a California native myself. The difference between a 5 and 6 earthquake is very large. But moving on, we talked a little bit about sustainable gardens. Here's a great question. How much space would I need for a sustainable food garden in my backyard? Let's assume the average American family, Robert. And while you answer that, maybe you could give our listeners some tips on which plants you would include in a sustainable backyard food garden.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, belated though it is. One of the most fantastic plants around is called the potato. The potato can really make a fantastic garden. In addition, here's a little trick you can do. As your potato plant grows, you can take bricks, concrete blocks, stones, whatever, and increase the soil level. And this will make the potato plant produce, instead of just one layer of potatoes in the soil, multiple layers. And so imagine you have the towering Mr. Potato Head. And so we can basically enjoy potatoes all year round. Also, potatoes store exceptionally well. So this is a decent form of carbohydrate. They are really not that fattening. Take it from a man who weighs 118 pounds soaking wet. And I love my potatoes. And don't forget the difference between some of the politicians. One politician one time spelled potato with an E. The other just spells it T-A-T-E-R.
That sounds like a Southern politician to me. So potatoes, and you mentioned perhaps raising the bed using bricks to get more soil in there for the potatoes. Any other plants that would be ideal for that sustainable backyard garden? And are we talking a 10 by 10 patch, 50 square feet? What do you think would be a good size, and how many plants would you plant in your backyard garden?
Start out small, start out slow. Being a very simple person, I always remember the concept, the engineering concept of KISS, which stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. I have to remind myself of this concept every hour of every day. Basically, start with a few plants. It's better that you learn from, you know, killing two or three plants than killing hundreds. In fact, it reminds me, there was a story one time of a vegetable farmer. He got sick and tired of growing vegetables. So he told his wife, dear, we're going to grow chickens. So he takes his 100 acres of land, he plows it all up, and he plants chickens. Well, after about a day, they're dead. Some of them were planted with their heads in the ground. There was really no shelter for the chickens. They had nothing to eat or drink. So his wife said, well, dear, you know, provide some shelter, food and water, and make sure you plant them with the heads up this time. So he goes ahead and does that. But still, after a few days, all these chickens die. So the wife then suggests, well, let's call in an expert. So they called in an extension agent. The extension agent runs on by with his brand new truck and takes a look at 100 acres of dead chickens broiling in the noonday sun. He turns to the farmer and says, can you send me a soil sample?
Dun-dun-dun. All right, so we have potatoes. Now, Robert, I'm really going to hold your head to the fire here. We have potatoes and we have chickens. What else would our grower put in the backyard? Sustainable garden in the backyard. Give me three more plants. You said start off slow. Give me three more good examples of sustainable garden vegetable for a backyard garden.
Okay, in the cruciforms, which are related to broccoli, we have, well, broccoli. Mustard greens grow very, very well. Collard greens grow exceptionally fast. In addition, radishes. Many of your cruciforms grow exceptionally fast. Many do not require high light levels. And this is a good source for obtaining fresh vegetables, as well as many of your salad greens can be produced this way. But like I said, look, don't spend a lot of money. Start off slow and enjoy. It should not be a chore. And you don't need to feed the whole family every day. All you need to do is just try and mitigate that food bill a bit. Also, we have a product here at Top Tropicals known as Sunshine, which will help all of your plants grow fantastically. It is an all-natural brassinosteroid, which really is absolutely fantastic for plant growth. I've done the experiments myself here at Top Tropicals, and I recommend it highly. You can find Sunshine on the Top Tropicals website, so please come visit it and see all the wonderful things we have in store for you. We have wonderful plants for eating. We have wonderful plants for their sheer beauty and aroma. And the purpose of it is to help you enjoy a more fulfilling and better quality of life.
So regarding the sunshine in a bottle, will that require our plants to use less water as well? Does it make them more drought tolerant?
Yes, this does help. Now, one thing about our Sunshine product, and we recommend this with many products, use distilled water only, because the brassinosteroid works at a level of about 6 parts per billion. You do not need to get it combined with many of the calcium, iron, and other impurities that you find in water. And best source of distilled water is get a name brand water at your local grocery store.
Okay, Robert, a couple minutes remaining. Let's finish off some of these questions here. For the outdoor garden, the question is there a peach tree that can produce fruit in the Florida heat?
There are many varieties of peach trees that will produce in the Florida heat. These are all listed on our website at Top Tropicals.
Okay, and back to the vegetable garden a little bit. Here's a question. Are heirloom varieties of vegetables better for you? Now, there's an interesting question.
They are not necessarily better, but in my opinion, they taste better. One of the constant questions I am asked is, why doesn't my tomato taste like a tomato? And I tell them, because it kind of really is not a tomato. Hybridization of tomatoes occur twice a year because we can double crop here in Florida. And just to, for example, back in the 1960s, when I remember what tomatoes tasted like compared to today, that the new some of the new varieties of tomatoes have been hybridized over 100 generations away from what used to be a tomato. Now, they're finally coming up with some delicious tasting tomatoes, your grape tomatoes. Also, there is the Tasty Lee tomato that has been hybridized. And these are some of the better tasting varieties available.
Well, you're touching on an interesting topic, the hybrid plants. So never to shy away from a politically charged conversation, here's a great question. And the question is regarding GMOs. What are they, and are they really as bad as everyone is saying? I think I had a 67 GMO. It was horrible.
Yes, indeed. Okay, a GMO, or genetically modified organism, is a plant or animal that has had one to two genes inserted into it. Now, at Top Tropicals, we do not sell any GMOs whatsoever. Personally, I look at it this way. If you are hybridizing a plant, consider taking two decks of cards and shuffling them. You don't know what cards you'll be pulling out of the deck. A GMO merely inserts one card into the deck to where you can be holding five aces. Now, I do not recommend that you hold five aces anywhere, especially a poker game where you have open carry laws. But the jury's really still out on GMOs. At Top Tropicals, however, we do not sell any GMOs because we do not want to rule out anyone. We want everyone to rest assured that we have the highest quality and the best plants for them.
Okay, the jury may be out on GMOs, but Top Tropicals policy, we're firm here. No GMOs in our offerings. Okay, so brings up another great question regarding, we talked a little bit about a sustainable garden. I know on our website we have a video, 10 plants that'll make you happy. It sounds like maybe we should create a video on a sustainable garden. Does Top Tropical offer landscaping services as well? With all the knowledge we have, do we farm that out?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We recommend you visit our website, call our office, and speak with any of our wonderful crew here. We do offer landscaping services. In addition, I am an internationally certified arborist, and at special requests, I will come out to your home, see what's going on, and save you a pile of money. And I have the no money out guarantee, which means if you're not satisfied with my recommendations, you do not reach into your pocket.
Okay, so Top Tropicals does offer landscaping services. You can visit our website, toptropicals.com, call our office, 239-887-3323. And it sounds like if we have any landscaping service requests from Hawaii, Robert, you're going to go out there for that one. Can I come with you?
Yes, you can come out with me, but anything in a grass skirt is mine.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. Robert, you want to introduce our topic for next week, our next Saturday show? And remember, you can also visit us at mixlr.com/toptropicals. Our future events are scheduled there, as well as our past shows. You can listen to that broadcast as well.
Okay, here we go again. I blew it last week. I didn't have the right title. But this time, rest assured, next week we will finally have You Need to Have a Brown Thumb to Be a Great Gardener. this is where we're going to discuss the topic of fertilizer. So we'll tell you how to get the best fertilizer around, the most natural fertilizer, and I think you'll enjoy this quite highly.
All right. Visit us next week, 11 o'clock Eastern, right here on Radio Top Tropicals. And remember also, sign up for our newsletter online at toptropicals.com. If you did, you get our not only our informative newsletter, but also specials every week in our newsletter. And you would have missed our St. Patrick's Day special where, Robert, get this, everything green was on sale. Do you think we have any green plants here?
Oh, we have got tons of green plants over here. And we even have some colorful plants as well for you. A variety of colors to enjoy.
All right. Join us next week for You Need a Brown Thumb to Be a Great Grower. Everything you need to know about manure.
Fertilizer.
Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you.